take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Be the 10th, and I don't think it's going to happen for them this season. They're on a 6-game losing streak. No Kevin Durant tonight as well. We're going to be joined by Eddie Johnson, who does coverage for the Suns pre and post game, and also former player for them, Sixth Man of the Year. Also has a book titled A Suns Revenge. No, not Suns, S-U-N-S, S-O-N-S, A Suns Revenge. They have the ebook and a hardcover available on Amazon, and it's kind of cool. It's like a little basketball book story about a kid playing at Arizona State. It's like a murder mystery, so it's very, very cool. Check that out, again, on Amazon. Eddie Johnson going to be joining us momentarily. It's Spadoni, it's Chasky here. We were talking some Giants as they fall 2-0 to the Cincinnati Reds, but a massive game tonight. Coming off a very disappointing loss, and maybe some people thought it was a scheduled loss. Maybe some people weren't too disappointed with it, considering they had beaten the Grizzlies, the Lakers, and the Nuggets prior to that. But again, it just goes to show you, this late in the season, it's tighter than it's ever been. Tight, tight, tight. As I go, Tuco Salamanca, shout out Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul. Tight, 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 yeah. Clippers, Warriors, T-Wolves, Grizzlies, all tied, and the Nuggets, by the way, with 32 losses apiece. This is the tightest race I can remember in quite some time. And maybe in Eddie's lifetime, maybe he can talk to us about that, because we do have Eddie Johnson joining us now, Joe, on the River Islands guest line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Eddie, good morning. It's Joe Spadoni, Joe Chasky on the morning roast here. Could you remember a Western Conference race, or hell, any conference race this tight with a week to go in the regular season?
Not in my memory, and I'm kind of old now, so I can't remember everything, right? They just told me you guys' name, and I forgot that as soon as you got on the air. But it's been fantastic this year, and we always hope for parity. We always hope to have a good postseason where it's very competitive and it's like back and forth. Series go 7 games, and you got buzzer beaters, you got upsets. We hope for all of that, right? Because we've gone through the 82-game marathon. We've gone through all the storylines, and now it's getting to the moment of, okay, who's going to win this thing? And honestly, I don't think anybody can definitively say a certain team is going to win this thing. And because we have two teams in Oklahoma City and Cleveland, they pretty much dominated the league record-wise, but we also got ways to pick at them to say, man, they just might not beat this team. They might not beat that team. And so going into the playoffs, it should be a tremendous feeling for the NBA fan.
Is KD going to play at all over the rest of the season? There's only about a week left.
I don't know. I just with an ankle, the one thing with KD, you don't question whether he wants to play. The guy loves to play basketball. He loves to be out there competing. And so if he doesn't get back out there, it's because he can't. It's not because, you know, he's got this little weird thought, well, I got to be 100% and I have to be this and that. That's not in his mentality at all. So, you know, it's unfortunate. The odds are against the Suns even thinking they can get into the play-in now. It's just very difficult when you're losing games down the stretch. You have to win your way in and not hope teams lose. So a very disappointing season in that regard, and definitely something to shore up and put a Band-Aid on this offseason to see exactly what happened.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Like, I'm from afar watching, and I'm thinking, I wonder if Phoenix Suns fans ever connected with Kevin Durant. I know he hasn't been there very long, and obviously the truly great, great, great players have, you know, a tremendous amount of fans and name recognition. But, like, when the Warriors got Chris Paul, we never really felt like we connected with him, per se. But for some reason, when they traded for Baron Davis midseason, he was like the savior, and we connected with him right away. Was Durant ever connected or embraced by the fans like that?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, look, you can't help but marvel at the way KD competes and how great a scorer he is. Oh, yes, the Suns fans, they very well connected with him. But you judge by wins. You judge by successes in the playoffs. And, you know, it has nothing to do with your basketball ability. You know, everybody knows. You march Kevin Durant out there in the uniform, he's going to get you 25 to 28 points a game. He's going to shoot 50% plus. He's going to shoot near 40, which he's doing this year from three. He's going to shoot a tremendous percentage from the free throw line. And, you know, most importantly, he's going to show up every night. Like, he's going to play nicked up. You know, he's not going to wait till he's 100%. All those things that you want from a professional athlete, KD gives you. And so the fans, the Suns fans, without a doubt, you know. But, you know, in the days of salary cap and the days of, like, you're restricted in certain movement, that's when people start to bring things up. But it's never a question of his basketball skill. Now, I know Kendrick Perkins, he always brings up leadership and all that when it comes to Kevin Durant and Stephen A. Smith. But you lead in your own way. And that's why I'll push back on those guys. Everybody can't be a vocal leader. Some guys aren't comfortable doing it. But how can you lead? Well, being the first person on the court at practice, which he is, being one of the last people to leave, which he is, in the ear of young players, giving them advice, which he does. But because people don't see it, then they think, oh, he's not leading. Or if they see his surliness, and he's surly, out on the court, they'll take it for a negative. And so I've been around a lot of guys. I've played with a lot of players, and everybody immerses into their role of leadership. For example, you know, Steph. Steph is not a highly vocal leader out there on the court. Like, he allows Draymond to do it. And when Draymond wasn't doing it back in the day, it was Iguodala doing it. Klay was very quiet. Klay wasn't a guy out there being demonstrative on the court and instructing people and all of that. But that didn't mean that they weren't doing it. They just weren't doing it in front of the cameras. Like, and so it's different types of leadership. I continually tell people that, you know, they want to just pinpoint one way of leading. Oh, rah-rah guy, he's out there. Man, come on. There's a lot of ways to be impactful leading, and I think he gets a bad rap for that.
Talking with Eddie Johnson here on the Morning Roast, Suns broadcaster, NBA Sirius XM Radio, with Justin Termini. Yeah, no, when he said Kendrick Perkins, because when I think leadership, I think Kendrick Perkins, the gall of that guy to call out Kevin Durant sometimes. But that's just where we are in a media society right now. And Eddie, I wanted to talk about, you know, we're 2 months in now, basically, post-trade deadline, the Jimmy Butler era in Golden State. What have you seen from afar, and what do you see about this Golden State Warriors team that has shifted in these last 2 months? Obviously the win-loss record, but the team itself since the acquisition of Jimmy Butler and the departure of one Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, well, look, when you pick up somebody like Jimmy Butler, a guy that knows how to win, one of the smartest players in the game, as Larry Brown said, used to always say, he and George Karl back in the day, as I played for them, you know, just play the right way. Play the right way, you know, and they would love him. Like, literally, those two coaches would actually love him because he reminds me a lot. And you guys remember Derek McKee. Derek McKee was a guy, you look at him and you say, man, this dude can probably score 25 a game, but he doesn't. And it's not like he can't, but it's just like he just picks and chooses how he's going to play. And, you know, he's not going to take bad shots. He's not going to, you know, be obvious or overly aggressive with the ball. He's just going to make the right pass. He's going to defend. It's that kind of guy, right? And those coaches love that guy. And that's what Jimmy Butler is. And so at times, did you get frustrated with Derek McKee? Yeah. Yeah. Because, man, come on, be aggressive. Shoot it, man. Like, go for it. You hot. Don't pass that shot up. That's Jimmy Butler. And that's the part that you all got to get used to. And I continually tell people this. Like, he, to me, is not a number one, even though he looked like a number one in Miami because they got to the finals and all of that. But he's really a number two in a sense. And because, or three, because he's not going to, most great offensive players, guys, and you're looking at one in Steph every night. You saw one in Clay who played like a number one. They shoot the ball all the freaking time. They don't care. They're overly aggressive. They're going for it. They're staying, of course, to their detail. The other night, Steph was off. Couldn't score. The Houston's defense was just locking them up. And you would expect Jimmy Butler to be aggressive. Took seven shots. See, so that's the negative there because I don't think Golden State has that unbelievable number two. I don't think Podziemski, even though he's improved this year and he's playing well, I just don't know if he can morph into that guy like Clay was. But I think that's the negative with Jimmy is that you're going to expect him to be overly aggressive offensively, and he's sometimey with that. And I think that part right there could create an issue. But overall, a tremendous pickup for them. He can win, and they're winning right now. And, you know, it's amazing how you all regurgitate and find some way to get back, which is sickening to me.
Hey, don't hate the player, hate the game, Eddie. Talking to Eddie Johnson, the Suns broadcaster here, former Sixth Man of the Year and Phoenix Sun player. Eddie, follow up on that real quick, because that was a point of contention I had yesterday, right? Like, you talk about Jimmy Butler, and what does everyone go to? Playoff Jimmy, Miami Heat. So I think that's what's in the back of a lot of Warriors fans' minds right now. It's like, hey, we saw this guy in the playoffs carry two teams. I get it. One of them was in the bubble, but still carry two the Miami Heat squads to the NBA Finals. When you look at their talent all around him, maybe not the greatest, and all the household names are there. And so why can't we get that in Golden State? Why can't we get that version in Golden State, that aggressive mindset? And I get it. Stephen Curry's there. Draymond Green's there. There's a lot of different alphas, if you will. So maybe I think just fans need to recalibrate. Is that what you're saying? Their expectations of Jimmy, yeah. Even come playoff time, you're saying?
I think so. I think, you know, in Miami, like he had two young players in Bam and Tyler Hero. So he was able to, you know, he was aggressive, right? And he had to be, and he knew it. Now he doesn't overly have to be because he's not the number one. Steph is. And so how does he blend into, like, not stepping on Steph's feet and still be aggressive, right? I don't view Jimmy as a pick-and-choose guy, meaning, like, if Steph is off, okay, he automatically in his head, he says he just goes for it. I think in his mind, he's just going to try to be more aggressive and more smart to maybe get Steph better shots or get Steph more open. Like, that's not what you do. That's what Draymond's job is. That's what Looney's job is. That's what Gary Payton II's job is. Your job is to step you off. I'm going for it until you get back in rhythm. I just don't know if that's him. And I continually argue that on my radio show, SiriusXM NBA Radio, 1-4 Pacific time every day. It's like, you know, that's always been my pet peeve with him, is that he kind of like cruises through the game. And because he knows he's going to stay on the floor, so he doesn't have to be judged by shooting, and then he can just defend, he can pass, and he can do all of that because he still knows he's going to get his minutes. But a player like, say, myself, I was judged on what I was doing. And if I wasn't doing it, I might be on the bench. You get it? And so it's that kind of mentality, and it should drive me crazy with Derek McKee, in that regard. Love him like a brother, but he would admit that he wasn't an overly aggressive offensive guy. And that's the guy I continually try to tell people and remind Jimmy Butler, too. Not to say that Derek McKee is in the same stratosphere as Jimmy Butler and what he's achieved, but, you know, but the same kind of ilk. And so that's what I would say with that situation. And he has to be aggressive because you're going to see teams do the step what Houston did to him. And that's why Jimmy has to step up. Clay had no doubt he would do it, right? Jimmy has to be that guy, and we'll see.
Hey, Eddie, good stuff. We appreciate it. The book is called The Sun's Revenge by Eddie Johnson and Gary Ponzo. Can you talk to us a little bit about the book? I'm reading it right now. It's like a basketball murder mystery. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, guys. You know, look, I have a unique deal with me. I don't want to get weird with it or whatever, but, you know, I don't think, guys, I've ever been to sleep and I did not dream. Like, you know, some people say they sometimes don't dream or they don't remember it. Well, I remember all my dreams and since I was 13 years old. And I think I kind of like taught myself to do it because when I was very young, I saw the Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream speech, and it grabbed me as a youngster. And I used to daydream all the time. I daydreamed myself into the NBA, guys. I tell you, I did. I mean, every day I was dreaming about where I could be, who I could be, emulate guys. And I've always been that way. And I think now it's like I dream, man, and I remember stuff. And I actually dreamed this book, man. I truly did. And dreamed it multiple times, which was crazy. It was on my mind. And a few years ago, I decided to write. It would be my second book. My first book was You Big Dummy. You can still get it on Amazon. It's a basketball self-help book. But I just said, you know what, Eddie? You got to put pen to paper with this. And I did. And I started writing. And you got to understand, sometimes you're not the smartest guy. And sometimes you got to put smart people around you that's done that, run that road. And I partnered with a good friend of mine, Gary Ponzo, who's an espionage writer who has a number of books out there. And I told him, I said, I need help with this. I said, I need help with formulating this. I said, I got the story. I gave him stacks of info that I've written over the last 2 years. And we just wrote it, man. And it is a murder mystery. It's based on the campus of ASU. And it's a tremendous book, man. We've gotten great response. It's only been out a couple of weeks now. Like they say, you know, basketball, what they tell basketball players sometimes, shut up and dribble. I don't shut up and dribble. I do everything. I'm going to attack everything in this life that I can.
Let's go.
And they told me I couldn't talk. They told me that. And I got a national radio show. I don't buy it, you know, and I think any young person, any person out there should attack everything. And that's what I've done. And it's not going to be my last book. Writing is my passion, and you can go get it on Amazon. You can download it on Kindle. It's called A Son's Revenge, and not S-U-N-S, people. It's S-O-N-S, just because I work for the Suns. I'm not that crazy, all right? But it's about a young man named Calvin that's trying to figure out who murdered his mom at his childbirth. And so it's a tremendous book, and I encourage everybody to go out and get it.
Hey, Eddie, good stuff, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Guys, and I won't tell you, I want to make you guys jealous real quick.
Oh.
I'm actually in Bandon Dunes right now.
Oh my God. That must be nice. What do you be shooting jealous out there, huh? What are you doing?
Man, look, I got off the plane yesterday, and I played yesterday, man. I'm pleased. That wind got to me. I didn't get a chance to warm up the guys.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, the excuse is built. Okay, there you go.
They hit me hard, but not. Hey, we got 36 today. I'm playing 36 tomorrow, and I'm playing 36 on Thursday. Yes.
Oh, my God.
So surgery
and
next
week. You know you got to walk it all. But man, I'm up right now, man. I got my clothing on. I got my layers on. I'm getting ready to go out there and do some work, man. One of the most fabulous places you ever want to come to if you're a golfer. So, yeah, I'm enjoying myself.
And on Masters Week, Masters Week,
I'm going with my team this year.
I know. Well, yeah,
I'm going through with my team. I got to go enjoy myself.
No,
I took the day off. Yeah.
Six straight losses will do that to you, Eddie. Yeah, heading into the last of the season, hit him straight, man. Appreciate you.
All right, guys. Take care.
That's Eddie Johnson, who joins us on the River Islands Guest Line. As all guests in 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Is it time?